Welcome in, everybody. Get ready to talk butterflies.
Always happy to talk butterflies.
Today, we're diving into something pretty interesting, the connection between butterfly names and figures from the Trojan War.
Oh, this is a fun one. Names are important.
Our guide is entomologist Göran Sjöberg, and his essay that really digs into Carl Linnaeus, you know, the father of taxonomy.
Linnaeus, a legend.
Right. So Sjöberg's argument is that Linnaeus seemed really drawn to this whole Trojan War narrative when he was naming certain butterflies.
And, you know, it makes you wonder, was he just being thematic or was there something more to it? Like, did he have favorites?
A little bias, maybe. We're going to unpack all of that today.
What I find fascinating is how this essay connects something like scientific classification with something as fluid as storytelling. Linnaeus's Systema Naturae, published in 1758, wasn't just a boring list of names. When he found a new species, he didn't just write down what it looked like.
He got creative.
He did. He reached back into history, mythology, poetry, and gave them these names that resonated with the story.
So instead of just seeing a butterfly, he saw like a living embodiment of an ancient story.
Exactly.
But he could have chosen any system, any theme. But he went with mythology specifically. Figures from the Trojan War, that's deliberate.
Totally. And to really get it, it helps to understand the man himself and the system he built.
Okay, so give us the Linnaeus lowdown.
So Linnaeus, Swedish botanist, physician, zoologist.
The original Renaissance man.
Truly. And he changed the way we categorize life. He gave us binomial nomenclature, that two-name system.
Binomial nomenclature, always a mouthful. But how does it work again?
Basically, Linnaeus gave each species a two-part name. Think like a first and last name.
Okay, got it.
So the first name, that's the genus, the broader group. The second name, the specific epithet that's unique to that species.
Like, we're Homo sapiens. Homo being the genus, sapiens being us.
Perfect example.
Elegant system. But back to the question, why the Trojan War for butterflies? Was Linnaeus a closet history buff or something?
It's definitely possible. Remember, back then, Linnaeus had access to these huge butterfly collections. The Swedish crown prince and princess were really into it.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
And their collection, it had species no one had ever documented before. All these exotic butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
So Linnaeus had this incredible opportunity not just to categorize, but to actually shape how we understand these butterflies.
And he chose to do that through the lens of this epic war.
He did.
He had this blank slate and decided to put his fascination with the Trojan War front and center. But it gets better, right?
It does.
He goes a step further, divides these Trojan-inspired butterflies into Greeks and Trojans based on one very specific thing they may or may not have.
Exactly. This is where his interest goes from just names into, like, deliberate organization. He looked at whether these butterflies had little red tufts on their thorax, that middle part between the head and abdomen.
And these weren't just any tufts. For Linnaeus, these were everything.
They were the deciding factor. Red tufts. You're a Trojan. No red tufts. You're on the Greek side.
It's like he drew a line in the sand, or on the butterfly, I guess. And honestly, it's making me wonder, was he being objective, or did his own interest in the Trojan War, you know, sneak into his scientific process?
It's a question worth considering. What do you think? Was Linnaeus being objective, or did his love for the Trojan War influence his choices? To figure that out, I think we need to look at some specific butterflies and see if there's a pattern. But that's for next time. Sjöberg starts with who else? King Dardanus, the namesake of Troy.
Makes sense. So what butterfly did Linnaeus think was worthy of the founder of Troy?
He chose Princeps Dardanus. It's found all over Africa.
Okay, so I'm picturing something majestic, big, strong.
You'd think, right. But Princeps Dardanus, it's not really about strength. It's about trickery. The females, they're masters of disguise. They mimic poisonous butterflies to avoid predators.
So instead of might, it's all cunning and deception. Kind of ironic, Troy was destroyed by a sneak attack, right?
Exactly, and that's what makes this so interesting, was Linnaeus making that connection on purpose between the butterfly's trickery and the fall of Troy.
It's making me think. Okay, so let's talk King Priam. He saw it all, the fall of Troy, the tragedy. What butterfly got his name?
This one is Ornithoptera priamus, also called the green birdwing.
Oh, now those are impressive. I've seen pictures. They're huge, iridescent green, fit for a king.
Right. But Priam's story, it's not just majesty. It's also really tragic. And that brings us to Helen, the woman who supposedly started the whole war.
You're talking about Morpho Helena. Those blue wings are unbelievable. How is anything about Helen tragic? She's the face that launched 1,000 ships, right?
Remember, Linnaeus was focused on what he could see. And Morphohelena, yeah, it's got that blue, but it's in the retinar group of Morphus.
Okay, and what's special about retinar?
Let's just say they have a darker side, literally.
Mm.
Morphohelena, bright blue on top, but underneath, the wings are really dark.
Wow, so it's like this double image, beautiful on the surface, but underneath.
A hidden darkness, yeah. Kind of like Helen's story, right?
Yeah.
Famous for her beauty, but also tied to all this destruction.
It's making me wonder, was Linnaeus doing this on purpose, or was he just into how these butterflies looked?
It's a good question. And it gets even more interesting. Linnaeus named a butterfly Papilio Troilus, after the Trojan prince, Troilus. He's a figure in a lot of literature always tied to love and tragedy.
Troilus, right. Shakespeare wrote a whole play about him.
Exactly. And the butterfly Linnaeus chose Papilio Troilus. It's North American, dark wings, but it has these red spots underneath. Kind of a melancholic beauty, I think.
So we've got another tragic figure, another butterfly that has this, like, sadness to it.
Yeah.
Did Linnaeus do that on purpose to match Troilus's story?
It's hard to say for sure, but looking at these examples, it's hard to ignore, right? This idea that Linnaeus, maybe without realizing it, put his own interpretations, his own preferences into this system that's supposed to be completely objective.
It's like he's telling us to look deeper, to think about the stories behind the names. Like, even science isn't totally neutral. It's done by people, and people have favorites.
Exactly.
But, you know, we keep coming back to those red tufts, that Trojans versus Greeks thing. What did Cherbourg find out about that? Right, those red tufts. It seemed kind of random at first, but now it feels important. What did Cherbourg find out about Linnaeus's Trojans versus Greeks?
Okay, so he looked closer at the butterflies in each group, and there's a pattern. The Trojan butterflies, they tend to be the really showy ones. Big wings, bright colors, intricate patterns.
Now that you mention it, the ones we talked about, the green bird wing, Papilio Troilus, they're all pretty stunning. Even Princeps Dardanus, it's not flashy, but that whole mimicry thing is impressive. Are you saying Linnaeus, maybe, played favorites, gave the Trojans the better butterflies?
It's definitely something to think about. Linnaeus loved this Trojan War story. Mm-hmm. And here he is getting to define these new species for the first time. He gives them names tied to this epic war. Then he divides them up based on something that, let's be honest, sounds a bit like personal preference.
So maybe without realizing it, he tipped the scales. The Greeks won the war, but in Linnaeus's world, the Trojans have the best butterflies. It makes you wonder, does the name of something, even in science, change how we see it?
That's the big question Linnaeus's work makes us ask. It reminds us that science is done by people. And people, we have passions, we're influenced by our culture. And yeah, maybe we even have biases we don't realize.
It's like we're looking at this system for naming butterflies, but we're really seeing Linnaeus's love for this story, this whole world of Troy.
Exactly. His work, it goes beyond just science. It's about history. It's about storytelling. And reminds us that knowledge is more interesting when we remember the people who discovered it.
So the next time you see a butterfly, don't just see the wings and the colors. Think about the name, the story behind it, the people who've been fascinated by butterflies for centuries.
Exactly. Every butterfly, with its Linnaean name, it's like a little piece of history, reminding us that even in science, there's always a story to uncover.
This deep dive has been amazing. We've learned so much about butterflies, about Linnaeus, about how those two are connected. And that's what I love about these deep dives. You never know what you're going to find until you start digging. So until next time, keep exploring.